Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today we have a slightly different episode because a few weeks ago I ran an online workshop about why recurring revenue is so vital for your business that I wanted to share it with the community. So today I'm releasing the audio of that workshop. I hope you find it useful and inspiring, so let's jump straight in. So I've just told Leanne and I were just having a little bit of a chat because, nobody else had turned up. There was just the two of us here. So we were having a little bit of a chat and just a chinwag. So sorry if you came in kind of halfway through that. As you know, from the Facebook group and some of the stuff I've been putting out, we've been looking at, I'm starting to develop some materials and some stuff around recurring revenue. And there's a few reasons why we've gone down this route. And I wanted to just do a bit of a, I know I've sort of staged it as a workshop event. There's going to be some very practical stuff that we're going to talk about in a moment, but just give some background as to why I've gone down this route. And also from the stuff that I'm going to tell you, hopefully there's some stuff in this that you guys are going to be able to take out of it straight away and apply it over to your business. So the first thing I wanted to talk about is, firstly, what recurring revenue isn't. So we talk a lot about recurring revenue in terms of stuff that it's good for, I suppose. But what it isn't, in my book anyway, when I'm referring to recurring revenue, I'm not talking about money for nothing. That's one of the things I hear so many times. Yeah, recurring revenue is great. It's like money for old rope. It isn't. There's a responsibility when you offer a recurring service to somebody that you do have to give something back in return. They're not just giving you money every month for being a nice person, as nice as that may be. The second thing that I'm not talking about is service fees. So I'm not actually talking about things like hosting fees or domain renewals or email accounts and stuff like that. I'm talking about actual services that we can offer on a recurring basis. And then the third thing that it isn't is that it's not to be taken for granted. I know I kind of mentioned that just a moment ago, but it's you do have a duty to look after those clients that are paying you on a recurring basis. Now, before I go any further, I've already made the first mistake, which is to say that just down the bottom, there's a Q&A box, which in my screen is just about there. If you've got any questions, then please add them to the Q&A box, pop on my screen, and I'll answer them either as we're going through or drop them in at the end. And the other thing I should have done right at the start is to say, if you are watching the replay of this, welcome. Obviously, don't do the Q&A thing because it won't be there on the replay. That'd be a bit weird. Feel free to either message me or drop your questions in the comments. The replay is going to be available on Facebook. So in the comments, and we'll continue the discussion on there. Okay. So if recurring revenue isn't money for nothing to be taken for granted and isn't service fees, what is it? Well, the reason we build our business on recurring revenue is because it is the best form of predictable income that we can build into our cash flow. It also helps us build our business to scale because we know we can plan out for months and months in advance the work that we've got to do. And the capacity that we're going to be at, we can accommodate staff holidays. I know some of you guys may be solo people, but you've still got to accommodate your own holidays. We can accommodate staff holidays. We can accommodate illness. We can we know which services are going to be sort of in demand at particular times. And it also helps us flatten out those periods where we are going to naturally peak and trough. So I'm not necessarily talking about a feast famine cycle, but look, it's August at the minute. And a lot of people go on holiday, particularly in the sort of Western Northern Hemisphere type world in this month. So this is like a natural lull. Anyway, December with Christmas is kind of another thing. Maybe in the country that you're at, there's a different season that's going to affect you. But anyway, throughout the year, there are these natural ebbs and flows anyway. And recurring services, having recurring revenue running through your business, helps you sort of iron those out a little bit so they don't affect you quite so much. The third thing is that recurring revenue is a means to deliver ongoing value. Now, that's something that we do need to unpack a little bit, because if you think about a product, so I want to come and buy a website from you, or I want to buy a leaflet from you, or I want to buy, an email sequence from you. It is a defined thing. It has a scope. The thing with a recurring service is that it does have an element of a scope, but it's a scope that needs to be reiterated month after month after month after month. One of the things we're going to talk about a bit later is when you're selecting your recurring clients or your retained clients, you really have to be sort of super specific about who they are, because you're actually basically getting into bed with these people. If you're doing a project-based type service, I don't know, building a website, for example, and you don't actually get on with the client that much, it's not too much of a problem, because you can grit your teeth, you can get through it 5, 6, maybe 8 weeks max, and you know what, final bill's paid, thank goodness I'm not going to deal with them anymore. With a recurring client, though, that's not going to happen quite so easily, and if it does end, you need to make sure that there's a process to end it so that you can both leave as friends. We don't want anybody to get into a mess because of this. So it's a means to deliver ongoing value. And the fourth thing I should say is that it's also a benchmark to provide security for you and any staff that you have and your families and their families. So I just want you to do a quick calculation. How many people depend on your company? So if you can just do this quick maths in your head, drop the note in the comments. We'll see how far and wide your the reach of this group is. So just while you're figuring that out, I'll run through my agency. So my agency is called So. We're currently in my office in Sheffield, and there's 10 of us that work for our company. However, those 10 people represent 24 lives that depend on income coming out of my business. So that's spouses, children. I could include animals. I haven't, but you could include dogs, cats, you know, anybody that's dependent upon the welfare of their life is based on as a direct result of the income that's coming through your business. So how many people depend on the turnover of your company? Leanne, 3. So that's more than one. So that's, you know, yeah, that's great. I don't know whether Sayak, do you know how many people are dependent on you? Is it just yourself, or have you got a team, or there's 2? Okay, great. And I've got Polished Geek in here as well. I love the fact that people don't use their real names. That really helps. Sorry, I'm only kidding. So more than yourself. That's the point. We have a team of 10, so, and we're looking at 24. So actually that's, it's basically sort of a ratio of 2.5 to 1. So why is recurring revenue so important? Why did I build my business on it? I need to tell you a bit of my story. So back in 2010, yes, it was 2010, I set up a different business. I set up a freelance business. And I've mentioned this on the podcast a few times before. It was a company called Coda Digital Media. And I only actually took the website down about 3 months ago. I don't know why it was still up, but anyway, it was. I billed it as like a web development house, but actually it was just me sat in a room with my Mac, and I built stuff. I did work with a couple of freelance designers when I needed to, but most of the jobs were development jobs, and I simply worked on it. I never lost a quote. In the 4 and a bit years I run the company, I never lost a single quote. And I now know the reason for that was because I was far too cheap. What happened, though, was it triggered a feast and famine cycle. So the feast and famine cycle, if you've not heard of that term before, is basically where you can't control your workflow. Sometimes you've got too much work to get on with, and other times you've not got enough and you're scrapping for cash flow. And I went through this cycle a couple of times in those 4 years, and it didn't just affect me. It also affected my family because, again, they were dependent upon the income that I was generating, and having to chase invoices, having my own personal finances dependent upon whether XYZ companies were going to pay me or not wasn't a great place to be. However, it was successful in the sense that it grew, and it did get to the low kind of six figures. That's in pounds, GBP, whatever that works out in the currency that you're in. But it did get to the low six figures. The problem I had in the end, however, was that because I wasn't charging enough money, I didn't have the overheads to employ somebody to do it. So people were approaching me to build a web app, a website, whatever it might be. And I would say, yeah, that's great, here's a quote for it, but I can't start it for 16 weeks. And with the best will in the world, nobody's actually going to wait 16 weeks for a freelancer to start on their project. But I didn't have the money to employ somebody else. Because of the feast famine cycle, we were having to borrow money from ourselves so that when the feast came back around again, I was paying myself back for money that I'd borrowed previously. You've got to put your chunk aside for the tax, your taxes, and all that kind of stuff. So whilst I say I built a successful business and got it into low six figures, that's true, but it wasn't that I had 100,000 quid sat in the bank and could just start buying in staff. It was a very different scenario to that. So I was then headhunted for a job, and I went to work at a large e-commerce agency, and it was brilliant. I regretted it quite quickly, but the thing I regretted was more that I wasn't in charge of my own destiny anymore. But my job at the e-commerce agency was to take their digital marketing team and grow the retained revenue for the company. That was my job. How big can you get it? So when I started, the company had a turnover around 600,000 a year. We had 16 staff, and we were charging about £20,000 a month in recurring revenue. So that's about 240 of the 600,000 was in the recurring. When I left 2 years and three-ish months later, we had a team of 36, and my team, there was five or six of us in the team. I was the head of it. We were doing £96,000 a year, or that works out at about 1.15 million a year in recurring revenue. And the key to that was we'd then overtaken the break-even point of the company with recurring revenue. So no matter what projects were sold, no matter whether it was August or December, or whether there was some members of the team, I don't know, there was some problems, family problems, marital issues. With 36 people, you've got quite a lot of family stuff that you have to accommodate. Whatever it was, we had that level of recurring income. So without selling anything, we knew that we were getting 96 grand in the bank every month. And they were all on agreements. They were all on automated payments. They were coming in nice and easy, really. So I then left. Basically because working there and not being in control of my destiny and making somebody else all of this money was just sticking in my throat a bit. So we started started in sort of mid-2016. We're just coming up to the end of our third year. And the whole model for our agency was going to be built on recurring revenue. I'd been sold on the idea of the benefits of recurring revenue. So I worked really hard in the first few months of SO to start building recurring services, finding an audience for them, finding clients, and getting them to sign up. And by month seven, I nearly put month five, but I didn't go back and check. I think it was month seven. Anyway, within about half a year, we'd built the recurring revenue to cover the overheads of the business. So when we started in 2016, there was two of us. There's now nine or 10. By month seven, we'd covered the overheads. In year two, we hit six figures of recurring revenue. And in year three, we're now into multiples of six figures. So we're growing at an exponential rate through our recurring revenue. as I said, I'm stood in my office in Sheffield. I worked from home for the first 8 or 9 months because the recurring wouldn't allow me to pay the rent on an office. So I could then start making business decisions about who I could employ and where I could work and all that kind of stuff, the services that we use, because of the recurring revenue that was coming to the business. My wife, who normally sits just the other side of that camera, she started working for us, but we could take her out of her other job and bring her into here for a better lifestyle for her, better lifestyle for our family. Once I knew that the business could afford to have her and pay her the wage that she wanted to be paid at the rate that she wanted to be paid at. So the other thing just to mention, I don't know whether you've ever faced this, but with the feast famine cycle, as I mentioned before, there was times where I couldn't pay myself. I had to borrow out of our savings to cover the monthly bills and then put it back again. Since starting this company, I've never had to do that. So I don't know. I'm telling you that story to sort of show you how great or good I am or anything like that. I'm simply sharing that story to say I've been in one scenario and it wasn't great. And then through the experiences I've had and the places I've worked, I've built a separate scenario. And ultimately, that's shown me the value of recurring revenue and the benefits for it. Helps me go to bed every night and have a good night's sleep, if I'm being perfectly frank. So you see, the thing is with recurring is that it gives you certain things that are more than just money. The first one is it builds additional value into your business. Now, I don't know if you're looking at selling your business one day or not. I guess that's a money type point. But in terms of how business value is calculated, contracted recurring revenue in the UK, anyway, is the second biggest multiplier of business valuation. The first one's property, if you've got bricks and mortar assets. The second thing it gives you is those freedoms. It's like I was talking about in terms of managing staff and holidays and all that kind of stuff. It does give you, it gives you the freedom to know, right, if I don't sell anything this month, everything's going to be fine. The business, you know, it's not going to break the business turnover. If you're going after a goal and you're really pummeling for it, taking a month off isn't going to help there. But actually, by spreading the work out and having the recurring coming in and moving some work early and some work late and all that kind of stuff, it does help you have additional freedom. The other thing is, of course, I can work from wherever I want. And frankly, as long as clients get the work that they're expecting, they don't care if I do it from here in our office or from a beach in France or from a boat in the Caribbean. What does it matter to them? It gives you the power to make decisions, like the example I gave with the office. It also, however, gives you a commitment. And to me, this is something that's really important. I need to know that there's something for me to get up and go at every day. There's, that I have that reason, that drive. And by having recurring clients, I see the invoices go out at the start of the month. And I then know, right, it is now on me and my team to deliver and delight those clients over the next 4 weeks before the next bill goes out. Because if we don't do that, then it only takes a couple of months and you know what, people are going to start questioning why they're receiving these bills and what's the value that we're giving. Value is the next point, actually. It gives you a platform to add and demonstrate value to a select group of clients. Now, those clients that we have on retainers, we've cherry-picked. If you look at our website, so-theagency.com, you won't see the word retainer on there at all. We do not go out and market that we need or we want retainer clients. We go and market ourselves basically the same way every other agency does. We sell them websites and design and SEO health checks and I can't think of something else off the top of my head, but you get the idea. We sell them one-off services so that by the time we actually start a discussion about, you know what, we could work with you on a recurring basis, we've already vetted them. We know that we're offering this to the clients that are going to fit our model and that we enjoy working with. And the other thing it means is that the work that we're committed to do every month is the work that we know that we enjoy doing. My wife's a copywriter. But the thing she really loves doing is social media because she loves to see that real-time engagement. So we take on social media, you know, we offer social media to particular clients because it's something she knows that she can deliver and add value to, and that helps her come to work every day. Although she's not here today, it's summer. It also gives you the ability to charge what you're worth rather than racing to the bottom. So, look, if all you're doing is selling projects, project after project after project after project, there's nothing wrong with that. However, you're only as good as the last project that you did. And in order to win projects, you're in a market that is open to being squeezed. So by building in recurring revenue streams, recurring services, I'm not saying that you can go stupid and charge whatever the hell you like, but on the same note, you're not on that race to the bottom. What you're doing is you're saying, we've built out a package that answers this problem. This problem isn't a problem that everybody has, but if you've got it, we can really help you, and this is the price for it. You can also start by looking at different tiered pricing models. So you might maybe have an onboarding fee to start with to actually get yourself set up and running, which injects a bit of cash into the account. That's sometimes a good thing to look at. And then you maybe start with a lower monthly fee to make it slightly more affordable to clients. And then we say, so what we're going to do is we're going to increase your, I don't know, if it's an e-commerce client, we're going to increase your online monthly sales to 25 grand a month, whatever currency you want. When we hit 25, we want to push on to 35. But in order to do that, we're going to need a bit more investment. So you're going to pay us £1,000 up to 25. But when we hit 25, we're going to increase it to 1,300. And then when we hit 35, we're then going to increase it to 1,700. So you know, your business is growing and that's great. But as this machine gets bigger, it's going to need a bit more care, a bit more attention. And there's more stuff we can do for you. So let us grow with you rather than just stay static. It's also a means of getting out of the feast famine cycle. And I've kind of covered that already, so I won't go back into that one. Now, I know that a lot of the examples and stuff I've just given are for sort of design agencies, but I'm not just talking about design agencies. This model fits into any business to business type scenario. So I know you may be a solo operator, and that's absolutely fine. You're still a business operating with businesses. So it's still B2B rather than business to consumer or B2C. So any service-based B2B business, so consultants, copywriters, designers, developers, marketers, social media managers, bloggers, SEOs, photographers, illustrators, authors, translators, there's so many different avenues that this could work in, that I'm not just talking about design agencies. Now, okay, that is the background I've come from, so it's maybe the language that I use a little bit more. It's the place I turn to for my examples, so I apologize if I get a bit too heavy on that side of things, but it's not just limited to those industries. So the next thing that we need to cover then is, how do you get started? Hopefully by now, I've done enough to demonstrate why recurring revenue is vital for your business. And that's the title of this workshop. Why is it vital to your business? Go and replay the last 25 minutes and you can hear those reasons again. Hey, there you go. Sorry, I've just looked in at the chat. So Polish Geek, yeah, about 15 based in your business, cool. And you've been there and done that. I don't know what you're referring to when you did that. Sorry, I didn't add something on top of the chat window, but yeah, cool. Right. So what I've done is I've gone and reviewed the first year that I worked at that e-commerce agency, and I've gone and reviewed the first year that I was building So, which is the agency that I run now. And I've gone and broken down the process that we went through in both of those businesses in order to build recurring services. And they basically fall into three brushstrokes, which is to design the service, to market the service, and to deliver the service. Now, within the design, we are talking about everything from what is it you're actually going to offer? What are the services that fit into retained contracts? It may be that you're, you know, in a design agency, it's quite easy to sort of put packages together where you maybe look at copywriting and SEO, or you could do copywriting, SEO, and pay-per-click, or copywriting, SEO, social media, and pay-per-click, and you build up packages that way. Or it may be that if you're a copywriter, that you maybe look more at a time-based thing. So I want to, you know, I will work for you for 15 hours a month, sorry, and this will be my fee. Or I'll produce for you 10 pieces of editorial a month of an average length between 2,000 and 3,000 words, whatever it might be. It's important that you work through what the parameters are that make up your service, however, so that you're, it's like semi-productizing. I'm not going to say that you're going to put packages on your website that says sign up for this, but actually it's, you've gone through a productizing process in your mind so that as clients are talking to you about their requirements, you can very quickly say, yeah, okay, so we're talking about that figure, or we're talking about this figure over there. The next thing is about marketing. Now, as I say, we don't market these in terms of publicly marketing our retained services, because that's there's two reasons for that. Let me go into that for a minute. I wasn't going to talk about this. There's two reasons for that. The first is that selling retained services is quite a difficult sell, particularly to a cold customer. So if you're talking to a brand new customer that and again, we're talking about the higher value recurring services here. We're not talking about 10 quid a month or something. If you're talking to a cold lead and all of a sudden you're starting to talk to them about recurring services and you say, oh, well, we start at £1,000 a month or $1,000 a month. Instantly, that client, that prospective client, times that number by 12 and says, that's 12 grand a year. Yeah, it is. You're right. It is 12 grand a year. So the sale isn't £1,000 a month. The sale is 12 grand a year. And that becomes your basic, the point I'm really trying to make is whatever figure you put on per month, you multiply that by 12, and that's the problem of the sale that you're creating. Whereas if you can break the sales down into smaller one-off projects that lead up. So we have for our SEO retainers and copywriting retainers, we have two SEO products that we offer first. We offer an SEO health check, and then we offer a keyword mapping review and report. They're of increasing value, and the whole point of the keyword report is it really demonstrates exactly how much SEO work that you need to do on your website. And you've not got time for that, so you may as well pay us to do it. And guess what? If you want to pay us to do it, it's going to be £1,000 a month. So we've managed to take a couple of steps backwards and put these one-off products in place. And they're the things that we sell. Because you know what? If we sell a health check for somebody and a new client comes on board at that stage and they're a right pain in the ass, you know what? We're not gonna offer them any more services. If they get through the first one and they're all right, and then they have a second bite at the cherry, and then they become a royal pain in the rear, you know what, we're not going to offer them a retainer either. Or it may be that actually, you know what, their market is so small that we couldn't offer the value that we would want to for the return on their investment, so we don't offer them a retainer. It gives us the chance to vet them. It also gives them the chance to vet us, so that, you know, the thing with a high value sale is that the sale process is normally quite long-winded. So actually by having these gates in place, you're allowing the client to vet you and say, yes, I do trust this person, therefore I'm willing to give them some more money. The second reason why it's not a good reason, not great to sell retainers straight to brand new clients, as I've just mentioned previously, is that you're literally getting into bed with these people. And if you don't know who you're getting into bed with, you're in a bad place. So you need to make sure that you've got the right process in place for marketing these things, which might not be direct marketing of the service. It may be marketing other services that then build. People like Russell Brunson and Chris Ducker call that a value ladder. And I know they talk about it from a personal brand point of view, but it's basically the same process, just with your business and your products and your services. And then the third thing is to then work on the delivery of how these things are going to actually work out in real life. You know, the worst thing you've got you can do is onboard somebody onto a retainer of 12 grand a year or more, and then month one you don't look like you know what you're doing. So you need to have the processes in place for onboarding the clients onto your systems. Make the payments as easy as you possibly can for the client, but make sure they're automated. Do not, under any circumstances, leave them down to invoice payments, because all you need is for a finance person to be off or them to not be 100% happy with what you delivered last month, and hey presto, payments get delayed and you're then back to chasing money again. So for us, on retained services, automatic payments are a requirement. They are not a desirable, they are a requirement. You wouldn't pay for your car insurance without paying for it in full. You wouldn't pay for your shopping without leaving the shop. You're not going to pay for our retained services without paying on automatic payments. That's the way it works. You also though need to then have in place not only the way that you deliver the work, but the way you communicate with the client. So that's going to be monthly catch-up calls or automated reports or non-automated reports or account managers or whatever it might be. Do you have weekly calls and then a kind of monthly big call with everybody in it? Or do you have, the way we do it in our agency is we have monthly calls with the key point of the client, and then we have quarterly reviews where everybody sits down together. So that we've slowed that process down a little bit. But at the end of the day, we just say to the client, look, we can have meetings with you, but that's eating into the amount of time we've got to work on your account. So we're not going to have meetings for meeting's sake. So you need to figure out all of those deliverables. And then finally, the final deliverable you need to do is to ask yourself, how are you demonstrating the value that you're adding to their business? And that's key, because from your point of view and from my point of view, that's the only one metric I'm bothered about. We've got a retainer client that we've been working with for about 2 and a bit years now. They were one of the earliest retainer clients that we took on. And I don't think it was last year. I think it was the year before. The first 12-month review came around. So we do quarterlies, and then you get to a 12-month, and it's like, whoa, here we go. Let's unpack everything. And we'd increased, they're an SEO client, and we'd increased their entire website traffic by one visit in the 12-month period versus the 12-month period before, which sounds shocking. The thing is, though, they had something like 6 or 7 times the amount of revenue from their website in that same period. So it was to do with the quality of traffic rather than the quantity of traffic was what we were bothered about. And we had a metric on our reports, which was the target for the year, which was a revenue target based on their e-commerce website. And we hit the annual target in sort of like month 8 or something. But having that number on a piece of paper made it so easy to report against every month to say, we have taken these steps closer to your goal. We have taken these steps closer to your goal. And once we passed that, we have now surpassed your goal by this, and we surpassed your goal. So when they looked at their, they spend around about 16,000 a year with us. When they looked at their £16,000 that they'd spent, they could then correlate that to a sort of 600% increase in turnover, and it was dead easy. They had no qualms in moving on to the next tier, a bit more money for us, more work for them, and we go again. So that's how it's crucial, and that's the point that a lot of people forget when they think, yeah, let's start with recurring services. What we're going to do is we're going to do this. So yeah, and then you find a client or two to sign up to it, and then you end up in hot water. And it's because people don't always think about the process from end to end. So that's why all of those reasons, which have taken me 35 minutes to go through, that's why I started going down the track of recurring revenue and wanting to offer back some value to that in the community, basically. And that's where the round table has come from. So there's going to be, I know the round table's not for everybody. I know that there's some people here that have checked out the round table and have decided that it's not for them, or we've been in discussions about it. But that's where the idea came from. It wasn't just some random thing that came out of the blue out of my head and thought, here we go, let's go down here. And if you do want to know more about the roundtable, however, you can go to marketingdevelopment.academy/renegade. It's called the Renegade Revenue Roundtable. So marketingdevelopment.academy/renegade. And there's more details on there about what the roundtable entails, the structure of it, how we're going to work together to actually build these recurring revenue streams in your business. This isn't going to be 12 weeks of me, I should say it's a 12-week roundtable, shouldn't I? This isn't going to be 12 weeks of me telling you about these are the recurring services that I have. It's going to be hands-on. These are the themes that we need to explore. And then we have 6 one-to-one calls over the 12 weeks directly with you to figure out how this applies to your business, not to mine, but to your business. So if you've got any questions about that, please feel free to drop me a message, drop them in the chat, and we'll, let's have a discussion about it. That was basically what I wanted to cover today, so I hope you found it useful. If you've got any feedback, please feel free to drop it in the drop it in the chat. I'll give it just another minute. If not, the replay will be available on Facebook probably sometime tomorrow. I'll get it up there. So feel free to drop me a message and we'll have a chat. I hope you found that useful. I'll stop the recording now. So that was it. The workshop introducing and detailing the recurring revenue roundtable from a few weeks ago. That URL again is marketingdevelopment.academy/renegade. The only thing that's changed since the recording is we have announced the closing date for applications to the roundtable, which is August the 30th. So that's in a couple of weeks, but I would be delighted to see as many applications from the community as I possibly can, because I really, really do want to help some of you guys grow recurring revenue in your business. If you've got any questions, come and hop into the Facebook group and find me in there, and I'd be delighted to answer any of them. And until next time, I will see you next week.